listening to the Way of Truth broadcast. This broadcast service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Avner Craig speaking. Our Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for the privilege of sharing the gospel with this precious people today. Wherever our broadcast is reaching, we pray the Holy Spirit will accompany it and will make it a blessing to each one. We're so thankful for the love of God, thankful for the gift of your dear Son, and we're thankful that he tasted death for every man, and that whosoever will may come and drink of the waters of life freely. So take us and take this broadcast and make it a blessing to souls. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
From the dust of the earth, my God created man. His breath made man a living soul. For God so loved the world, he gave
wise man Solomon said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." We were indeed created to serve God, but how many people in the world today are fulfilling God's plan and God's will for their lives. But I can assure you that God's way is right. God's way leads to eternal life, which should be of interest to everyone. And it is our sincere desire on this broadcast to help people to come to know life through Jesus Christ. Our subject for today's broadcast, Vessels for the House of God. And our text of scripture is 2 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. Thus Solomon made all these vessels in an abundance, for the weight of the brass could not be found out. And Solomon made all the vessels that were for the house of God, the golden altar also, and the table whereon the showbread was set. Throughout the Old Testament, there are various things that are used, that is, material or literal things, that are used to symbolize spiritual truths. And this is very definitely so in regard to the tabernacle that was in the wilderness, where God gave Moses minute detail as to how to build it and what was to go in it. And so we come to the time when Solomon was having the temple built in Jerusalem, and the temple, as well as the tabernacle in the wilderness, was a type of God's church. So we have here this expression about vessels for the house of God. Now, Jesus told the people, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. John chapter 5 and verse 39. So we have here in these texts of Scripture that I have read, things that are spiritually are to be understood as meaning or having significance to spiritual things. The temple, I say, in Jerusalem was a type of the church, just as the tabernacle in the wilderness was a type of the church. The vessels for the temple and for the tabernacle were dedicated to the service of God and thus were made holy or sanctified, as some of the verses of Scriptures use. And these vessels were to be used only for the worship service of Almighty God. Remember, whenever the king in Babylon took the vessels that had been taken from the temple in Jerusalem to Babylon, and how that in his drunken state he called for those vessels that had been brought down from Jerusalem, from the temple there in Jerusalem, which had been dedicated to the service of Almighty God. And as he drank his wine out of those vessels and praised his gods, he saw the portion of a hand writing a message on the wall, which Daniel later interpreted for him, "Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting." So these vessels that Solomon had made and put in the temple were vessels sanctified or made holy for the use and for the worship of Almighty God. Now, I'd like to call your attention to the fact that all men are vessels. Yes, all men are vessels. When I speak of men, I'm talking about mankind, not just a male part of the family of man, but all mankind are vessels. But not all are vessels in God's spiritual house. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some of honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So we read in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. So all men are vessels, but not all are vessels in the house of God. Some vessels unto honor, some vessels unto dishonor. Sin defiles the vessel. Yes, sin defiles the vessel. But Christ can pick up the broken pieces and put them back together again. In other words, Christ can cleanse the vessel of all of its sinful ways and sinful deeds, and he can make them a new creature. He can cleanse the vessel and make it fit for the master's use. So God's people are like vessels, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. This treasure, whether you want to speak about us having this treasure in earthen vessels as being Christ or his salvation, it really makes no difference, because you cannot separate the two. Salvation is found only in Christ. Christ is the only mediator between God and men. But whenever we are truly saved and having Christ abiding in our hearts, then we are indeed a vessel that has this excellent treasure in it. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The power to change is of God and not we of ourselves. Our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God, and we cannot cleanse the heart. We cannot remove the sin. But Jesus Christ came, suffered, bled, and died on the cross of Calvary, rose again the third day to make it possible for us to be cleansed and to be a vessel unto honor. Let us look at the Apostle Paul. I like to refer to him quite often, and of course he wrote many of the New Testament scriptures that we have in our Bible. At The beginning, when we are introduced to Paul in the book of Acts, he was known as Saul, and he was a persecutor of the church. He said he persecuted the church of God and wasted it. He was there whenever they stoned Stephen, and he would doubtless encourage those men who were throwing the stones to kill Stephen. And he hailed men and women, drug them out of their homes, testified against them, did all he could to have them put in prison, or even worse, to be put to death. But on the road to Damascus, the Lord revealed himself to Saul. A great light shone down upon him, and a voice said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who is it, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks." And Paul said to the Lord, "What would thou have me to do?" What a marvelous change in attitude. Saul was on his way to Damascus to testify against any there that were followers of Jesus Christ. But here, on the road, approaching Damascus, about the noon of day, a great light shone down upon him, and he heard this voice, and he was made to realize that he was persecuting the one that he thought was a heretic or a false prophet. He was persecuting the Lord Jesus Christ, and he had enough honesty about him to change, and he changed his attitude immediately. What a marvelous thing! And we are told that he went on into the city of Damascus, fasting and praying there for 3 days. And the Lord spoke to a man by the name of Ananias and told him to go down into the street called Straight, for Saul was there. And Ananias was afraid at first and hesitated. "I've heard of this man. I heard what he had done at Jerusalem, and I heard what he intended to do in coming here." But the Lord said, "You go." He prayeth. And whenever he got there, the Lord told Ananias, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." Acts 9 and 15. So Saul, whenever he was truly converted, became a vessel for the Lord. "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me." Wherein in the past he had been a vessel for Satan, doing Satan's business. Yes, he was a religious man, but he was still doing Satan's business. But whenever he met the Master and his heart and life was changed, he became a vessel unto honor. "A chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." And what a marvelous vessel Paul turned out to be. "Know how to possess your vessel," Paul wrote later, "that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor." So he wrote to the church in Thessalonica chapter 4 and verse 4. Every one of us needs to know how to possess our vessel in sanctification and honor. Yes, it is God's intention, it is God's will that every one of us be a vessel for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. A sanctified vessel, consecrated to live to the honor and to the glory of God and to do the will of God. "Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." So Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. "Whenever we are saved and sanctified, a vessel cleansed and made holy for God's use, then we are to do all to the glory of God. Self is slain and Christ is alive in us." Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ, but yet I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." Now, I'd like to speak a word to husbands and wives in regard to their relationship. Notice what the Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. "Likewise, you husbands, dwell with your wife according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Before I get to the heart of the thought that I want to bring out of this verse of Scripture, let me say that Peter was not saying, when it comes to moral character and will and determination, that the wife was a weaker vessel. What he was talking about, that the female part of the family of man, in a general way, is weaker than the male, speaking from the physical standpoint, not from the moral standpoint. What would congregations of the God's people be if there were not godly, saved women in them? But the real thought that I want to get out here in this verse of Scripture, 1 Peter 3:7, is that husbands and wives need to live together harmoniously. Otherwise, your prayers will be hindered, and you'll have difficulty getting your prayers answered. Let me read this verse again. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Surely we need to have our prayers answered. I personally say I would like to have more of my prayers answered, and I don't want to do anything that would hinder God from answering my prayers. And so Peter says to husbands and wives, conduct yourself in a proper way. Take charge of that vessel and make it behave. Make it do what God would have it to do, and conduct yourself one toward another as God would be pleased for you to, so that your prayers be not hindered. Improper conduct toward one another can hinder you from getting your prayers answered. Remember, we are heirs together of the grace of life. The wife has just as much access and freedom in the gospel as the husband does. Now, the material for the vessel. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Elihu said to Job, as recorded in Job 33:6, I also am formed out of the clay. We need to remember that. Too much emphasis is put on the physical and on the outward. The real emphasis needs to be put on the spirit in man and the living of the holy life that God would be pleased for us to be. And remember, this is just a vessel for the dwelling place of the Spirit of God. Now, Jesus fashions the vessel, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Jeremiah 18:4. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So Jesus Christ is the potter, and the clay has no right to say to the potter, why hast thou made me thus? We are to permit Christ to make us the vessel that he would be pleased for us to be. My brother Berlin, who has passed away a few years ago, was a potter. The Smithsonian Institute in Washington has numbers of his work, and he has pieces throughout the nation. He told me one time that he thought there was some of his work in every state in the nation. And he was quite well known. Books and articles were written about him. I've seen him take balls of clay and fashion them into vessels. And he didn't ask the clay how they wanted to be made or how it wanted to be made. He made it according to his will. So after he made these vessels, he was very careful with them because they were soft. And he put them in a kindling. And did you know that Jesus Christ fires the vessels? He has a kindling. Fire burns off impurities, makes the vessel hard, builds strength, and brightens the vessel. So Christ not only makes the vessel, but he puts it in his kindling, and he hardens it. And I'm not talking about having a hard heart. I'm talking about being strong and being hard enough to take the knocks that the world is going to give you, the opposition that Satan will put in your way. You're strong enough, you're hard enough to face those things, enduring hardness as a good soldier. So Jesus Christ is the potter. And then he puts us in his kindling, and he purifies us, and he hardens us, that we are able to face the gainsaying world and live for God. Thus, all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished, and the silver and the gold and all the instruments put he among the treasures of the house of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 1. We read in Paul's writings to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that God places the members in the body as it pleaseth him. So every Christian is a vessel in the house of God, and the Lord places us where it pleases him. And may the Lord help us each one to strive and to endeavor to fill our place. Because if we try to fill somebody else's place, we're going to get out of our place. Let us fill the place God would have us to be, and let us be vessels unto honor. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of sharing these verses of Scripture with this precious people today. We trust the Holy Spirit has conveyed the truth to hearts, and it prove to be a blessing to them. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you, and we do trust that it has proven to be a blessing to you. As we have said many times, if it has, be pleased to write and let us know. It would be an encouragement and a help to us if you take time to write and let us know that you hear and appreciate our broadcast. And our postal address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. That's The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. And remember, if you have a prayer request that you'd like to share with us, we trust you'll feel free to write and send it in. Again, our postal address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address is truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. Our fax number is 301-739-7173, 301-739-7173, our fax number. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. Remember, we have a number of our broadcasts there on our webpage and also other services. And you may join us in our services on Sunday morning, 20 minutes to 11, and Sunday evening at 6. Our services are broadcast live over the internet. So our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. And now this is Alvin and Craig inviting you to be with us on our next broadcast. And until then, may the Lord's blessings abide.